Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But
I knew Carl. My uncle Carl worked at Nintendo, actually. So Carl gave me a foil Charizard.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Lore Boys. This is James again. So last time I kind of left on a cliffhanger on top of a deep dive or something like that, where we had some more to talk about for Deep Rock. So that's what we're going to be doing today. So my name, as always, is James Miller. And we are joined today with...
The second side in this two-sided Diagon, Ethan Palmer.
I guess, yeah, we're not going to make a triangle out of this one, so it's like me, Gunnermane. Can I be the empty space in the Diagon?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
That's
Oreo
Peter film. O'Donoghue.
We have made a reference that only the patrons will know about tomorrow. Yeah.
So Diagon is two sides. Pentagon is five sides. What the hell are 1, 3, and 4 doing? They're
Trigon?
Really...
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it really should. It should be a trigon, and then I guess a quadgon.
I bet you trigon still means triangle.
Quadagon sounds a Star Wars creature or something.
Trigonometry is trigon.
The science of triangles. That's the name of this episode.
It's also a super villain published by DC Comics as Trigon.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say trigonometry. I'm like. All right.
Apparently, he's one of the most powerful beings in the DC universe, having enslaved many worlds. And Darnell, I'll never talk about him again. So,
okay. Is he a Green Lantern villain though? That would be pretty hype.
He probably fights the Justice League. They all kind of they all share villains, right? Stilt Man, who is tall. Polka Dot Man, who shoots polka dots or something. I know there's Calendar Man, who. Not a clue what he does, but I think his tie is like, maybe I just had imagined this like, and it's like just implanted in my head. I think Calendar Man's tie is like a tear off calendar where he has like 31 ties. Like
Calendar Man back. Calendar Man takes your Outlook or Google Calendar and moves all your meetings 15 minutes later, but only on your side, so you're always late to every meeting, but don't know it.
Yeah. Also, I'll say today, this morning, I had a 10:30. Yeah. And I'm online and I'm working away. Like 10:30 was my first meeting of the day. And I look down at one point and I'm like, sure, I still have some time. And it's 10:34. And I'm like, oh shit. Like, how did I end up late for this? Then I go and I'm like trying to sign on and it won't let me. And my computer had done exactly that. Like not my Outlook calendar, but my computer had jumped 15 minutes into the future where it was actually like 10:16 or something like that. Right. And it said 10:34 on the thing, and I had to reboot my computer because it was just like, we don't know how to handle this anymore. We're in the future, and we can't operate.
That is so fucking... It's like, sometimes mine will get the wrong time by, like, an hour, because it just switches time zones, basically, for some reason. And then you just, like, reset the clock. You, like, uncheck set with internet, and then recheck it, and it fixes the problem, but I've never had it...
A common problem in Canada for us and not for our American listeners, you can get this. Here's why you don't pay for healthcare, or here's why you have to pay for healthcare because you don't have to deal with this shit. Where our computer keyboard will switch to Canadian French from Canadian English, and the question mark becomes a large E with an accent on it.
Yes.
So you're suddenly ending your sentences in capital E's with an accent aigu.
Sometimes when I take my laptop to bed to like fall asleep to some cozy Townsend making 18th century like whatever the fuck, if I let my battery like almost die, but not quite, when I open up my computer, it'll be whatever time I just close my lid on. So like 3 a.m. or whatever. And then it asks for a Windows login and my PIN no longer works to get in. And I have no idea what Windows account it's connected to. I think one time I had to like sign in through my work email just to get into my personal computer. And I don't know why it automatically linked the Microsoft account to my...
That's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah. Anyway.
You think they have these kinds of problems on the space rig working for Deep Rock Galactic? Their drop times are moved ahead 15 minutes, so you just get left behind.
I was watching a lot of vlogs, because they have vlogs from like 2017 of when they were like creating the game and their vision for the game. And they said all of their technology is going to be like they're not going to have like little like devices that are compact and can do things efficiently. Everything has to be big and bulky. So if they have an alarm clock in that world, it's going to be like... cyberpunk futuristic like giant alarm clock with a hammer on the side of a bell.
Okay,
a mechanical alarm with a mallet like, comes out and hits the dwarf on the head while he's lying basically.
The gloved hand, of course.
Yeah,
of course. So yeah, last time, if you guys are interested about like where Deep Rock kind of came from, you can go check out our previous episode. It should be in the links below. But it's basically, we go over the history of like, where did all the people who made Deep Rock come from at Ghost Ship Games? Basically all came from Press Play, who were bought out by Microsoft and then run into the ground by Microsoft. And then all the guys came and made their own studio.
Thanks, Bill.
Yep.
And we got Deep Rock from it. So
we did. One of the developers was playing Minecraft. He's like, this is cool, but what if more guns and better enemies? And
what if it wasn't for fucking babies, right?
Yeah. Well, what if more guns and better enemies, and then we also take away the building?
Yes.
Yeah.
the core gameplay of this game.
Yeah.
What if we just take that
just
away
the mining
and make it a different
part.
Game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like Minecraft meets Left 4 Dead if you have never played the game before. It's a great way to kind of sum it up. What else happened? We kind of went over all the different the classes and like what they're into, what kind of guns they have, kind of their play styles and things like that, in case you wanted to dive in for yourself. I've changed my mind on the Scout M1000, by the way, which is just like the Garand, I think is the old one for it.
Oh, I can't remember.
M1 Garand is an old-timey rifle.
Pete, you're the one who called it out the last time, which is why I tossed it.
I thought, and then I was corrected by someone who knows guns better, by Fitty. I think he said it's a different gun. So I don't know, but it's the one that goes ping when you've shot enough Nazis. Ping to tell you that it's done, basically. And then
if you
play
Call of Duty 2, you probably shot an M1 Garand at some point.
I remember that. Yeah. So basically, I thought it was bad because it has like two shots in the chamber and like there's usually huge swarms. But I found out that you can like have more shots in the chamber, make it shoot faster, and also have a perk that makes it like shoot through things. So the strat is you kind of just wiggle around so all the bugs line up, and then you just shoot and you can get like three or four at once by getting that. So, and now my gun has like 17 or 16 shots in it. I don't know how I got that many. I have a clean overclock for it as well. But basically what I used to think was just only good for single target, it's very good for single target. You can shoot a like Praetorian in the face and it'll die. You don't even have to go for the butt. And also now you can actually get the waves as long as you line them up good. So I was wrong. The gun is very good if you know how to build
I might give that a shot. I always use the default SMG on the Scout.
Yeah, I have a clean.
We played Deep Rock a couple days ago, and we had a couple of missions there that went cuckoo bananas and was nonstop. Well, whatever, like when we played like Friday night, we did like one mission, like everything's quiet, and then it just goes crazy and never stopped. Yeah. It was exhausting.
It's just one mission that just went off and never stopped.
Basically. Yeah. Yeah, we couldn't get out there soon enough. It was like point extraction, acorns, but like we tried to do a secondary thing where you have to like kill the tower for those play, and then it just never stopped after that point. We didn't even clear the tower.
We laughed in the face of God, and he showed us that he's still truly in charge. On Hoxus.
God dunks. Yeah. Rules like us.
Yep.
Luke 3:17.
Update. I think my COVID's over, but I still have a residual cough. I felt real good today. I was out and about and breathing and feeling good, but a little
good. I'm glad.
Yeah. So yeah, who the fuck's Carl?
So well, all I know about Carl is there's a voice line where you go for Carl.
That's a good one.
When you do your power attack.
That's very good. Yeah.
So, oh, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah,
what's the lore behind the voice line for Carl? When you do your power attack, not always when you do your power attack, but sometimes when you do your power attack.
That's a good one. I started off with a voice line as well, but I started off with the driller killing an enemy where he says, "This one's for Carl." Similar idea. I want to say a big thanks to Sniss, S-N-I-S-S on YouTube for organizing his thoughts on basically how all these voice lines fit together, along with connecting it to the wiki, because it was a big help for me to be able to do the same.
Oh, and I was holding my breath when we were recording this episode last time, so I couldn't correct you guys, but there are voice lines about elves. I don't know if we're gonna get into
we should mention it. Yeah, correction from last time. The leaf, so, you called them the leaf lovers.
Yeah, there's voice lines for when you shoot a friendly character or when a friendly character shoots you, and one of them is watch your fire you pointy-eared leaf lover.
Okay,
which would be a reference to elves.
Yeah, that'd be fun if they started to bring in other races. Like, we find out that the incursion is, like, actually from the elves, or, like,
it's the later elves, on, that'd be fantastic.
Later on, like, maybe season 3, we get some more, like, brutish type of, like, machines, and then there's orcs that show up, and not only you have to kill bugs, but you have to kill orcs, too. That could be fun.
Orcs, too?
Yeah.
I mean, wow. You could kind of do a cool co-op game for elves, say similar industrial feel. But, like, if you used grappling hooks to scale giant trees and, like, harvest their resources, right?
It would, because it would have to be acorns.
Yeah, they're giant acorns. You'd be like the yin to the yang, right?
Right.
Would be, and you'd have like a flying minecart or whatever. And then instead of having drills to dig, you'd have grappling hooks.
That could be cool.
Ghost Ship Games. That was my idea. Do not steal. You have to pay.
And then the scout in the elf game, since the scout's mobility weapon is the grappling hook. Right. I guess the scouts in the elf game would be, he'd have drill, so he could like drill into the middle of the tree.
I was thinking probably some type of like cloaking stuff, because I'd imagine elves are pretty aware of their forests. So if you're like the front runner, you'd have to like have something to hide from their onslaught of magic or something. I don't know. We can work it out in post.
But in Dungeons and Dragons, the cloak of elvenkind lets you hide anytime you're kind of standing in nature.
Oh. Cool.
Oh, cool.
Like the cloak that Frodo and Sam got from the elves that was poorly explained in the movies, I think.
Right. Oh, the because of the effects at the time, the where they are clearly underneath a like gray spray painted tarp that is so fucking heavy, but they pretend to be a rock at the bottom of the hill.
Cool. So yeah, we never meet Carl in game so far. So, like, is he a fallen dwarf from a past mission? He could be. He could be still alive. In the 2017 VOD that I watched, they left the door open for him still being alive. But they also said that they wouldn't add laser guns in the game unless they were huge and clunky, and they have laser pistols in the game now. So their ideas are constantly evolving. 2017, I don't think the game was actually fully out yet. I think the early release came out in 2018, so it was very, very, very early.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah.
And people were still like, gotcha journalism. Like, well, what happened to Carl?
Yep.
It was like, I don't know, dude, the game's not even fucking out in early access yet, so don't know where you're getting your fucking info, but. Yeah.
I watched some gameplay from the VODs too, and the game doesn't even look like Project Dworkin, which we kind of talked about in the last one. Ethan, I'm not sure if you got to see photos of it, but you can barely even find them online. I found them in like a specific video, and it just looked like the same game, but just so much more like polygons. Like everything was boxy, kind of more like Minecraft. And
I see all the because I did look it up when I was holding my breath.
Yeah.
I saw like the concept art, and then like you say, it's just like Dwarka, Italy. Yeah. Or not Italy, India. Jeez. Yeah.
And then even
countries, yeah.
Even in the 2017 version, which I just watched today, it looked bad still. And they even ended up like recording like a teaser video for the game coming out, and then having a huge breakthrough in their procedural generation that made it look way better. And they just,
right.
Yeah, and they reshot everything shot for shot just because right after they had that breakthrough, they're like, the game looks way better now. Let's do it. Yeah. And it led more to the game that we know today, which
I love the art style of Deep Rock. Yeah.
It's not overly
complicated. I love the 13 gig download that you can just play infinite levels forever. Unlike, some other games that we play where it's just like, yeah, here's your three maps and that's 108 gigs.
It's
thank
not
you.
13 gigs. It's like 3 gigs. It's really small, Deep Rock.
Really?
I can look it up right now.
It's procedurally generated. Okay. I remember downloading it being like, wow, that is tiny. We just played Payday 2 since the last time we talked about it in the episode, and that was like 60 gigs and kind of not the best experience, which you can hear more about in the Patreon episode if you're interested. But
it's 2.5 gigabytes. Wow. That is way smaller than I would have thought.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah, since procedural generation goes a long way, I guess. So.
Yeah. Jamie clearly has the laptop in the group to know like the exact build size of every game. Because he was also bringing up build size of games in our Patreon bonus content for this week. So
yeah. I have to manage it. Yeah, if I want to keep
he's
Elden Ring,
his fucking meal tickets basically just like, oh, I hope I have enough gigs for the month.
Yeah, if I want to be able to relapse into World Warcraft Classic at any moment and also be able to play Elden Ring on the back burner, then I have to have X amount free at all times.
Relapse at any moment.
And it's reassuring to know that you never have to drop Deep Rock, really.
No, yeah, it's great.
I'd be offended.
I think like Slay the Spire has a similar download size, and it's like a card game, and so yeah, back in the old days, Ghost Ship Games would put up videos on their YouTube to talk about development. I was talking about a little bit the vlogs. I think there's 6 vlogs. They're really interesting to watch because you can kind of see what their thought process was before the game come out. How they're like, I was watching and they're like, this is. We would have a more combat-focused thing where you would bring in, there'd be no Molly, you'd bring in a dropship, and you'd have to collect like 10 major minerals, and they're basically just explaining what a point extraction is.
Yeah, it's same quirk.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, they didn't know what it was yet. It's really cool that just to see them, their thought process as it's coming out. And in the second vlog, they talked about Carl directly. So they got asked, who is Carl? And Robert, he's the lead art director, and if you don't know who he is, he's the voice of Mission Control, so you should know him from the game.
Oh, that he has such a... I remember you telling me this. He has such a great voice.
Yeah. He has...
How many voice actors are there? Because it feels like 2. Is there only one actor for the dwarves? Because they all just sound pitch-shifted into, like, a different...
I couldn't tell you. I know that a lot of the voices came from in-house... But yeah. I'm not sure exactly how many. There's 6 main founders of the game. One of those main founders is the Mission Control guy. So it could be they grabbed a couple others for the dwarves.
Yeah. So Robert Fries is all dwarves and Mission Control.
Oh, he does.
Oh, the same guy. Okay.
Per IMDb. But yeah, to Peter's point, like the 4 classes, they are very clearly. The same actor with the same voice, like the same voice lines, just pitch shifted different.
Yeah. Scout has the highest voice, I think. I always noticed that.
Yeah,
when
Driller has the deepest.
Yeah.
I would love it. Let's start a rumor right now. You know how there was like the rumor that like Michael Jackson wasn't actually Michael Jackson on that Simpsons episode? It's like, no, Michael Jackson does the voice of all the dwarves.
Yeah, yeah.
In Deep Rock Galactic.
Yeah. They pitch shifted him up for the scout and down for the rest of the dwarves.
Yes, right, exactly. Right. Yeah.
So Robert, the lead art director and the voice of everyone in the game, I guess, he also came up with the idea of Carl. So what he called Carl in 2017 is he said, Carl, quote, Carl is a previous colleague, friend, battle brother. And he lifted his hand up like this when he did it. And every monster they kill is in revenge for Carl. Was the basic idea, so they're kind of giving motivation to all this violence.
Why we don't leave the company is because we're trying to avenge Carl, I guess.
Yeah, that's like the where it comes from. In some of the conspiracy theories I'll get into later, we bring up some Russian propaganda that this also ties to. But
what?
That's going to be like our second last thing to the end. So
okay.
Yeah. This, like, in these vlogs, there's a lot of cool little nuggets. Like, the game director, he explains why he liked the name Molly for the robot. He liked an organic name instead of something like Star Wars, where it's like R2-D2 or C-3PO. When you're, like, down in a dark hole, it's nice to kind of have your friend Molly there.
Yeah, humanoid. Like, Bosco is your little drone robot.
Yeah.
Bosco's the drone robot. The drill dozer is Loretta.
Yes. Yeah.
And right. The dwarves refer to her as Dottie, which is very cute.
Yeah. And and the hacking robot is Haxie. Who Haxie is one of my favorite. I think I may have talked about the last episode. He is just the top half of a little man, of a, like a little man robot with a big bright cyclops eye and like a hazard rotating siren light on top of his head. But they put a hard hat on top of that. And
on it top doesn't, of the light.
And then his bottom half is like a CRT, like a CRT tube screen computer. And he just like hacks away on a keyboard.
He's rapidly typing away, rapidly and emphatically typing away.
Yeah.
If you rock and stone him or most of the other robots in the game, they'll usually like salute back or something like that. Rock and stone is like the salute in game that you can do to anybody where you raise your pickaxe and you yell rock and stone.
Yeah.
And if you do it to like Bosco or Haxie, or the bartender at the Abyss Bar, they'll salute you basically. Loretta will like spin her head and like look at you if you rock and stone her.
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
We hadn't mentioned, like, Pete and I mentioned our like hours played or whatever, but Ethan has even more than both of us. Are inflated right now, but yeah.
We were talking about the other night. I'm at 191, but for a good while I was like waking up at 5 a.m. My sleep schedule just got weird, so I'd play in the morning and then I'd leave it open all day while I was at work. So yeah. We don't know what the real number.
Your actual experience is more than ours too, because your account level's in the high 50s. I'm in the low 40s, and Pete's in the high 30s, I think, right now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Another thing that kind of surprised me, what do you guys think Morkite comes from, the name Morkite?
Oh, is it, what is it, Morlocks from H.G. Wells or whatever?
Oh, from the Time Machine. That's a great guess, yeah.
Good guess, that's not it.
What's Fool's Gold? It's Pyrite. Iron Pyrite, I think, is like Fool's Gold. So it's got like a suffix of an actual mineral. Right,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good guess. I thought it would be Mork and Mindy, because it's like an alien or whatever.
Okay. Yeah. This video game from 2018 is just like, you remember that that comedy show where Robin Williams was on cocaine the whole time? That's the reference.
They do mention that they have a lot of 80s influences, so it wouldn't have been so out of like the realm of possibility. But
yeah, I guess having never been to the 80s myself, I suppose it does seem just like something that an old person would do. I guess
a boomer, if you will.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
So I mentioned in the last episode, they're a Danish company, and the Danish word for darkness is Mork, like M with an O with like the, it looks like a slash through it.
Somebody canceled the O.
Like it's a reminder, like, please, King of Denmark, remove this O later. And he just never did. So that's
the Danish word for darkness is Mork, with an E on the end. So Morkite means darkness mineral. And it is very dark.
I wonder if that's where the English word murk comes from. Like murky.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Danes invaded England, eh?
Yeah, and they clouded up all our ponds.
Morkite's interesting because you can mine the crystallized bit, but like the favorite mission, like my favorite mission, like all of our favorite mission, with the oil derricks, basically, where you're drilling for liquid Morkite. It has like a fluid form as well.
I'll say it here, guys. You've always said it's all of our favorite missions. I don't know if it's my favorite mission.
It is all of our favorite missions.
I've never spoken up for or against it, and you guys kind of just lump me in with the same opinion. I don't know if it's my favorite one. It's kind of annoying sometimes when there's like a pump jack way out of the way and you got to like dig a spiral circle all the way up.
Yeah,
you don't have a
driller. You don't like it because you only play a scout. But I'll say as driller, it is so satisfying to just be like, yeah, I'm drilling right to it. And I'll say, like, we had one, I feel like you're referring to, we had one that was just like, it was in the craziest position, and it took like the engineer and the driller just working together to like build like the perfect pipeline to it, essentially building platforms and then like digging holes where platforms wouldn't work. and vice versa. And I really love that like visual style puzzle of like figuring out the most optimal way to get the pipeline. Like my favorite thing about those missions is actually building the pipelines. And like when it's like this crazy challenge, it's almost like my favorite thing about it.
I like point extraction. I like to be able to zip and zoop, and I get to collect all the minerals, and like
that's always a very good answer.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to get the achievement where it's gonna take some doing, but we can do it intentionally. You have to grind on a pipe rail for 120 seconds uninterrupted, and I'm like, what a waste.
Yeah,
it's gonna be great. Yeah.
Just build a big pipe for no reason, right?
That's like fun, actually. So yeah, if we look online back to Carl, there's a lot of speculation. So what can we kind of narrow in on based on Carl's voice lines? So one thing that I just took a sip of, actually, Carl was known for drinking a lot of beer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's not a sick little boy who like had a Make-A-Wish thing where it's like you're like down in the mines and you point up to the stands. It's like for Carl, because it's like his Make-A-Wish was to go down into the hostile alien mines with his favorite miners.
If you had a Make-A-Wish for a kid's like, I want to get shit-faced drunk, do you let him? I guess you do, right?
There's I was reading an article about there was like a 15-year-old Make-A-Wish kid or something like that who wanted to have sex, and they arranged it with a prostitute and got the kid laid.
Honestly, if he's on his way out, I think that's respectable. Yeah.
So that's like Giga Chad Wish Foundation.
just to say, like, if it was like, I want to get shit faced, like, yeah, maybe they'd just be like, okay,
cool. He has sex once, instantly heals, like muscles burl out, like popping out of every part of his body.
Yeah, like he does the Popeye thing where, you know, like there's like the worm where his like arms expand out and then back into his center, essentially. Like...
He starts talking like Popeye too all of a sudden. So what do we know about Carl? He likes to drink a lot of beer. When a gunner kills a dreadnought, one of the voice lines is, "That thing ate bullets like Carl drank beers." So we can assume, especially from a gunner, shoots a lot of bullets. So Carl,
for someone with like 45 hours on gunner, I don't think I've ever heard him say that.
You're a visual type, Pete. Maybe you're not an audio type.
I'm not an audiophile.
Yeah. Additionally, when you press V with your beer in your hand in the game, that's the same thing as the rock and stone that we were mentioning earlier. It's the salute. You raise a toast when you're holding a beer. And one of those common voice lines is for Carl. So you could guess that he would approve of you guys raising a glass.
Okay.
Yeah. So also when you change clothes, sometimes you get a voice line that says, "What would Carl wear?" So he guessed that he's a dresser, or that at least they want it to look like him.
He's not nude, is what bit of lore.
Yeah.
But that's just a game theory, Carl, not nude.
Yeah. So we can say
he's like Tobias Fink. He's always got at least cut off jean shorts on.
I wish there was cut off jean shorts. I would make my dwarf wear it.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, hell
absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Go start games if you're listening.
Yeah.
If you build it, they will come. Wait a minute.
Uh-oh. So from these few voice lines, we can guess that he was a great miner, a snappy dresser, he could drink a lot, and probably was a good friend. So Carl had all of the branches of Deep Rock covered, because that's kind of everything that you try and do in the game is be a friend, do some good mining, get some cool clothes, and have a couple beers between rounds.
I mean, drink beers,
He shotguns beers with the boys, he's dripped out, and he stacks paper. Like, that's all you need, right?
Yep.
He got 100 barrels in a row in the barrel toss game.
Yeah, I was watching someone in the lobby do it like so consistently. They're so good at that game.
I'm jealous. I'm terrible.
I've done like 5 or 6. You get a free achievement called the Darwin Award. Anybody listening, if you get drunk and then kill yourself in the Ring of Fire, you get an achievement for it, and you wake up in the infirmary.
If you jump through the hoop.
All right. Well, actually, I think this is a good time to take a little break. So how about everybody join me jumping through this Ring of Fire, and we'll wake up in the med bay after the break.
Okay.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're back after talking about albatross.
Yeah, so I don't know why. I guess Google's algorithm is is kind of fucked up right now. So we were discussing over the break whether or not I should get an albatross. We decided not to because, of course, it would spend decades away from home, you know, gliding around the coast of the Antarctic and eating sardines. But yeah. I wanted to see, because Ethan was saying, like, they spend like 90% of their lives just flying out at the ocean. I wanted to actually see, like, an actual timeline. So I put in wandering, and the Google auto-suggest shows wandering Jew, which is apparently an inch plant. I have no idea what that means.
I thought this was going to be about albatrosses.
Wandering Merchant Lost Ark. Wandering Wenda CBC.
Wandering Merchant Lost Ark makes sense to me, but
yeah. wandering meaning, and then finally wandering albatross birds. So
it's a wandering albatross though. Like, why was your thought process, I want to learn about albatross, so I'm gonna Google wandering. Oh, the wandering albatross is like the name of a type of albatross.
Yeah that's why. Yeah, and then there's like there's the hanging plant, the inch plant, the wandering Jew, which is actually quite nice. It's like green and purple.
If you had an albatross, it would be like one in a million finding it at sea, because it's so vast. And same thing with Carl. Like, if we lost Carl, how would we find him?
Yeah, Carl left home and spends most of his, like most dwarves, spends most of his life gliding on air currents over the ocean.
Yeah,
wandering Carl.
Yeah, filtering his sardines out of the water by catching them in his beard like a net.
So what happened to Carl is one question we can hope to answer. And it looks like he was left behind on Hoxie's 4, which is the planet that we all go to every time we're heading down and doing some digging.
Fracking the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of the localization team have an unreleased voice line confirming that he was left behind, but it was never put into the game. So take that as you will. Like, we could say he probably got hurt and left behind, but there's a chance he's still alive out there too. So it's...
I want to believe.
Yeah. He's probably left behind, but if dead, not sure. Yeah.
Like, he went down like Willem Dafoe in Platoon, like with his arms out getting shot in the back by the Viet Cong. But then season 2 DLC, sometimes you can encounter a mysterious hooded hermit in the caves.
Yeah.
And then season 3, he's revealed to be Carl, but like whatever, he has like a cool scar now.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, I would also not maybe hate the idea of, like, you know, we talked about elves being the season 2, like the owner of the rival incursion faction or whatever, but like maybe you know, Carl corporate sabotage, you know, mistakenly fell behind only to meet up with his other connections.
I thought like he would be killed like in House of Cards. It's just like, Carl spent too much time talking to environmental journalists about all the fracking that we do. So
I like that idea too. Like, Carl's like he's tired of basically being exploited for somebody else's profit, so he starts his own mining company and leaves his friends behind. And he is the rival incursion. Like, he has the prospector. Yeah. He has all that stuff. Yeah, yeah. That
would Carl be said union out loud once, and that was it. We never saw him again.
Yeah.
He kept trying to encourage me to tell him how much I make.
So we have another tidbit of lore on the Skull Crusher Ale flavor text. That's the one that makes you do big damage with your pickaxe.
Mm-hmm.
People ask why we remember Carl. People ask what made him a legend. Rumor has it that Skullcrusher Ale is at least partly to blame. Make of that what you will. Beware. So, did he... This could mean a few things. He could have taken on too many bugs in melee range, since Skullcrusher Ale gives melee buff. Maybe he had one too many, got sloppy on the job. Maybe there's a type of accident or betrayal from another dwarf who, like, cracked his skull with the melee buff. You know, it could be... I've only heard the first two theories. I added the dwarf betrayal because I thought it was a cool possibility.
Oh, okay, yeah. Up for promotion. Yeah. Speaking of being irresponsible in an industrial setting, I was working... I had a desk job in a warehouse that, like, resold DVDs and video games and whatnot, like, cheap on Amazon. And I know there was this guy named Dan who was, like, a wildly irresponsible driver. He would peel out of the parking lot every single day.
What a cool guy.
And then he was driving the forklift once, and, like, for the fire retardant system, obviously there's, like, sprinklers in the warehouse, like, full of boxes and movies and shit. So there's huge pipes of water running down the walls. He, at some point, was driving like a lunatic and drove straight into the pipe, and then when he turned, the fork from the forklift just sliced it open.
Oh, God.
And just started dumping just, like, liter upon liter upon liter upon liter of water straight onto the warehouse floor. Like, destroyed everything in front of it, melted a bunch of DVD boxes, destroyed fucking everything, and, like, we got sent home early and couldn't go back to work for, like, 3 days while they fixed that problem.
Classic.
That's serious. Yeah, those accidents.
Did he yell for Carl whenever he did it?
He did.
So what happened to Carl? That's the best we can guess. He's probably left behind based on localization team unreleased voice lines. Probably fell in battle because of Skullcrusher Ale. Is partly to blame in one way or another.
So yeah. Whether it's like he got the damage buff, so went down fighting, or like was too drunk to function.
They're also, I was going to leave this for later, but unconfirmed information, Skullcrusher Ale, which Carl was very involved with in some way, gives an increased melee damage buff, and it might imply that Carl had been able to brawl with only a pickaxe and no guns. And so people salute him because he was just like the straight up pickaxe OG. He didn't even need a pistol. He just chopped up everything with melee, which would be cool.
He's the berserker, right? The shirtless, the braided beard covering his nipples.
Yeah.
I mean, there's clearly some ties to, like, the pickaxe with him, right? If the pickaxe drink, like, the damage buff drink makes you, or is alludes to him, the power attack pickaxe strike will sometimes do that.
Yeah.
Or will sometimes trigger a voice line about Carl.
There's also an achievement that kind of insinuates that no ammo would be needed in Carl's life, because it's called Carl Would Be Proud. And you have to finish a Hazard 5 mission with no one dying or ordering a resupply. You wouldn't need a resupply if you only use your pickaxe. So it kind of supports the theory.
Yeah, that's true,
That's true, yeah. So, I could probably pull that off. Did you say we could probably pull that off?
We've never even done a Hazard 5. We barely do Hazard 4. We didn't practice.
I was just about to say, I have the Hazard 3 one. I assume we probably all do. But I don't even have the let's get the Hazard 4 one, and then we'll talk about Hazard 5. All right.
I'm just saying, like, I have confidence in us. I know
you guys literally haven't done the quest line to unlock Hazard 5 mission.
So, I have not. No,
we couldn't even sign up to try it tonight. You know.
Pete's like, I have half ammo on my main gun and I'm full on my secondary. I need a resupply.
Well, I don't want to take my secondary out of the plastic, because then I can't return it.
Yeah.
I can't take the tag off.
Where is Carl? So thanks to update 3.4, that was one that released deep dives, we can be pretty sure which biome Carl is even in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Deep dives underneath have, like, flavor text. So, like, whenever you're at the deep dive screen, there's, like, your deep dive, your elite deep dive. It has, like, a picture, and then has some flavor text underneath it. And each biome of the planet has either one or two lines of text that keep rotating throughout the deep dives. So the first biome flavor text that mentions Carl, this one's not really to be taken seriously. It's Fungus Boggs, which reads, I heard this was Carl's favorite biome. He was such a fun guy. Yeah, big LOL. Not really a clue. The YouTube video that I watched this gave him way too much credit for this joke. And it was Jacob at Deep Rock, so you can tweet at him and make fun of him for that joke if you'd like.
I hate the Fungus Boggs. I think that is the worst biome in the game. I despise it. Yeah. There's that definitely sludge that slows you down, and then those like mushrooms that spray out like flammable gas. It's the worst fucking thing on the planet.
Yeah, they look like uncircumcised.
Definitely not my least favorite, but... Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean the one that whenever something explodes, it like leaves behind like fire damage basically. I don't like.
Oh, the volcanic era, yeah, where the ground burns you.
Yeah, and then there's the one with like all the coral like motifs. That one I hate the most because I play engineer the most these days. I play mostly driller, but both of them just have such a hard time getting around in the coral reef one because it's all these like overhangs that you can't like drill up through or platform up to.
The other one that had a line that mentioned Carl in all the biomes is the Hollow Bow. So B-O-U-G-H.
Yeah. Is that the one with the death vines and shit?
Yeah, lots it's like the sword vines. And
yeah, sword vines.
Like
those like, I think it has like those spiky things on vines that try and attack you too that you have to shoot their like yellow wrists to basically break.
That's the sword vines that I was referring to. I guess for the listeners, they're basically like, they're these like sentient vines that have like giant scimitars on the end and will just like dash out and poke you like really quickly. They'll like slowly reach back, and if you don't notice them, then they'll like punch forward and like hit you. But they'll send you flying too whenever they hit you, so it's common enough that they'll just like knock you off a cliff and make you break both your shins on land.
Very annoying. And they can be really high up too, so if you don't have a scout with like a light up there, sometimes you just won't even see them they'll hit you. So the line for the flavor text for Hollow Bow is, this is the kind of place they say we lost Carl. So be there. I could picture like Carl dual wielding pickaxes, like blocks, because they always come in threes, those sword vines. Blocks one vine with one pickaxe, blocks the second with the other, and then like he gets struck by the third or something. Like,
it like stabs him under the ribs, so he like grabs the sword vine, he's like, I'm taking you to hell with me, and like rolls off a cliff holding the plant.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never tried to kill one of those sword vines with a pickaxe, but I can't imagine it's very easy or fun.
Nope.
Yeah.
So yeah, the biome has like a lot of steep drops too. Vines everywhere. There's spiky flying bugs. This line kind of enforces that Carl's left behind on Hox's Spore, and specifically within the Hollow Bow biome. So if you were to go looking for him, based on all the crumbs we have so far, that'd be a great place to start.
Okay.
Yeah.
We know people die in there because you can find a discarded helmet. Yes. And it's like a terrain scanner. You can find, you know, like whatever the paint job that the guy was wearing when he met his untimely end.
Another voice line at the bar almost gives us a clue. So I tried to proc this for the boys. I kept buying this beer for us the other night, but it just wouldn't happen. It's called Smart Stout. And the idea of Smart Stout is it has like little glasses on there and like a little fake like candle on it, and it's meant to be like the smart beer, and you drink it, and for a very short time you become a genius, but as quickly as the thoughts come into your brain, they're fleeting, they fall away from your brain too.
The length of the hypotenuse of an isosceles triangle is equal to the sum of the two of the squares of the two other sides. That's a right triangle, you idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes
Kissinger loses his glasses in the toilet.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you drink it, the dwarves will say, I think I know where we left Carl. It's so bloody obvious. But then just as quickly as it comes, the thought slips away, so they don't know.
Oh, too bad.
But like Hoxie's Four is massive, and even if we knew the biome, Carl's still just a dwarf in a super massive haystack. Especially like with every mission on the planet being procedurally generated. It either means the planet is so massive that you never end up in the same place twice, or that the planet's shifting so much that it, like, either way, it's going to be very hard to find something that you left behind there.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to have like a fucking Apocalypse Now assignment where like Carl has like gone fully native? He's wearing like bug shell armor. He's like ruling over this like tribe of ant people. He like won't go back because he hates the system now.
Can only hope.
I watched that recently. It was a very fun, if not long, movie.
Yeah. I mean, we're just giving Ghost Ship tons of great fucking ideas now. They got the grappling hook tree game. You got the Apocalypse Now, right? Expansion pack. What else?
I saw one online. It was called No Dwarf Left Behind would be the mission. And you go down and there's like some type of AI dwarf down there that you have to rescue and then bring back with you.
Could
be fun, but then it also could be kind of... what's it called whenever you escort mission-y, and escort missions kind of can also be bad, but
yeah, I mean the pathfinding for the AI is okay with Molly, but she can walk on walls. I don't know what it would be like if you had to like sacrifice one of your players where he's got like Carl on his fucking shoulders. So you like lose a guy basically where he can't shoot anymore.
If he had to walk, so your driller had to like make a ramp for him everywhere.
I was just thinking like Molly, cause Molly will just like, chill spider climb like on ceilings and like so when you call the drop pod to like get out of a mission, Molly leads you back to the drop pod, right? And how she does it is she leaves these like little green markers as she's like she Hansel and Gretel's like little breadcrumbs behind her as she walks. But she will like full on leave you behind in the sense that she will scale a sheer vertical cliff, spend 30 seconds walking on the ceiling
and then go find, through like the tiniest hole. I like it as a scout because I follow her. I just like point my zip line through the hole she went.
But like I could see Carl being able to walk, still having his twin pickaxes, and then doing like just like a driller straight line to the drop pod or whatever. My favorite thing about playing the driller probably is whenever the drop pod comes, you can see like where it is, you see the direction that it's in, but you don't know like how the caverns will like switch back and like labyrinth their way to it. But as the driller, you just have two massive drills on either hand and you just drill like a perfectly straight line. I think it'd be pretty cool if Carl could do that, and that would like cause something else to happen, like it would increase swarm intensity or something.
So you had to
keep Carl up kind of thing while he was doing that.
It's funny, I think about this movie a lot on this podcast, and I've seen it literally once when it was new. Like ants, the Sylvester Stallone ant who dual wields pickaxes and like, and like he tunnels faster than the Woody Allen ant.
I don't remember him.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember the Sylvester Stallone ant from Ants at all.
That movie was so violent; it scared the shit out of me when I was young. But I watched it on VHS when I was like 7. Or something like that. Like, whenever it came out, I got it at Blockbuster because I'd already seen A Bug's Life and I wanted to see the other Ant movie of that season.
Yep.
And, watched Ants with a Z. And, Sylvester Stallone's in it, Woody Allen, and, like, I don't know, like, a bunch of other, like, famous people. It was like the termite war where people, like, melt.
Yeah, I remember the termites and I remember them, like, spitting acid on other ants. But
back to the driller, though, I really like, even for when it's not the drop pod, you're doing, like, an egg hunt. And I'm like looking at the map and it's a 3D map with all these zigzagging, and like sometimes it's literally faster to walk there, but I'll just drill a straight line because I don't want to have to think. True. I'm just going to drill
everywhere.
Straight line.
The map is a suggestion when you're a driller, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. You pull up the terrain scanner and you're like, I'm going here. I'm taking straight lines, baby.
Yeah.
We fish in straight lines. Yeah.
So here's a question. Is Carl alive down on Hoxie's? Unfortunately, I don't want to believe this, but what the general consensus is that he would probably be dead.
But why is my question. Yeah,
there's
why does the internet think that he's dead, huh?
So this first point, not so strong. It kind of suggests it is there's an achievement called Carl Would Be Proud, and would implies past tense.
I mean, it just means he's not around. I'm fully going with the like General Conrad thing where he is just like out in the bush living amongst the Glyphids as their king now.
I hope so too. Track 19 on the soundtrack is called Carl's End. So
the end of his prolific career at Deep Rock Galactic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like to think that he did die, but I like this one theory from Conrad Harton on Reddit, who said if he had died, this is a cool way that it would happen. And the quote is, Carl died covering his team's extraction by riding the mule down the Glyphid Queen's throat and detonating its fuel rods. And he lives on as a minor folk hero. So we've never met the Glyphid Queen, but we can only imagine with all these bugs, there is a queen down there. Right?
Okay, yeah. My follow-up question was, is there other voice lines that support the existence of a Glyphid Queen? And is there any voice lines that or any trivia that supports the...
Yes.
That's how Carl would have gone down, riding a mule and detonating fuel rods?
When you're fighting Glyphids, there's a voice line, die like your mother did.
That makes much more sense now. Okay.
And followed by For Carl, which it sounds like it could be just like dwarves being dwarves, but I love that idea that he went down the queen's throat herself and like
absolute blaze of glory.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolute Chad. Absolutely. And in the loading screen you see how like half the planet is clearly like fracked. So it's just like partially like there's just chunks of the planet floating in space.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the explosion that he wrought, huh?
Yep. I'm sure you would still have some guy on like the part of the crust of the planet that is like in orbit because it's been fracked off the surface, where he's just like he can still light his water on fire. He's just like whatever. It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So this is pretty much all the supporting stuff. So like who he is, where he is, where he went, is he alive or dead? We don't know, but we still have some theories. And I think there's six of them we have to go over. The first three are considered valid by the community, and the next three are considered not so valid.
Okay. Both of the Deep Rock community, we can make those decisions for ourselves.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And these are ripped directly from deeprockgalactic.fandom.com/wiki/Carl with a K. So if you want to check those out, I took those almost word for word from there. So that's where they come from. So first valid theory, and I don't think there's too much crazy about this. Carl was a former teammate of the playable dwarves. So they reference him as a close friend, talk about his disappearances as if they were there themselves. We can guess that Carl used to be one of the team, and he's one day left behind, giving birth to the phrase "leave no dwarf behind." Actual evidence that Carl was their teammate is not super clear, because the dwarves could be playing it up because he's so prolific that they want to seem closer to him than they are.
Yeah,
but
I knew Carl. My uncle Carl worked at Nintendo, actually. So Carl gave me a foil Charizard. And I keep it in a special box that nobody can see.
Yeah. So that's the first theory. Is he used to be just one of the boys. Maybe something that I liked is in Project Dworkin, there was a bunch of different classes, but they're all the same except for one, which is the demolitionist. So maybe Carl was the demolitionist that never made it to the final game.
Okay.
But really, we know that the engineer just kind of became the demolitionist with the C4 packages, along with just other tools. But there's also...
Driller has the C4.
Driller has C4.
Oh, sorry, Driller. Driller, yeah. They kind of packaged it a different way. But also, there's theories that Carl was a scout, which I follow because I'm a scout and I'm also...
Oh, I see. Okay.
You exclusively play scout.
Yes. I got silver with scout since our last meeting, which means I've been promoted 1, 2, 3, 4 times at least.
Holy shit.
Amy's the boss.
Yeah. So Carl was... this is another theory. Carl was one of the initial dwarves to descend onto Hoxie's 4. So... No surprise, Hoxie's is known for its dangerous working environment, but someone had to go in first to prove that it could be tamed. And it's possible that he was one of the first, or the first, dwarf to set foot onto Hoxie's 4 and fend off all the horrors.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, could be both also, right? Like, he could have been an original dwarf. He could have been, like, the old guard when the new babby dwarfs showed up to work one day and he, like, showed them the ropes kind of thing.
Yep.
And then... Whatever happened to him?
Yeah, Yep. They said going in blind is a good way to misjudge the dangers and end up a martyr, saying that maybe he was very strong but didn't know everything about the planet yet. Could be part of it. Another detail is Carl's is commonly referenced in conjunction with Hoxie's monsters, such as the Dreadnought, drinking, mining. So it's like, it says that he's a part of the same mining operation for sure, we think.
For sure, yeah.
So why not him be one of the first, like you said, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just came up with a theory that I'll posit at the end, actually.
Sure.
Okay, you don't want to get it in now, because if Jamie then reads the theory, you'll look like a fool.
We got
that's
more.
True, yeah.
We got four more. Get yours in, yeah.
I'm wondering, because like Deep Rock Galactic is very clearly a like evil corporation that does not care about its workers. What if Carl is not real, and like loving memory is just like a motivational thing?
Oh yeah,
to like get the employees to work harder.
Remember our Russian propaganda that we mentioned at the top? We'll get it.
No fucking way.
You don't need a raise this year. Your raise doesn't have to match inflation this year. You're not doing this for the money, right? You're doing this for Carl, for the love of the job, right?
Like one of those like composite, it's not even a real guy. It's like Carl's photo on the wall and the memorial is just like a composite photo of like 30 other dwarves. Like, he never existed.
We will get to the Soviet Union soon. Yes, we will.
I'm glad you guys made me say that first.
Carl, okay, this is the third like credible theory that they have in the community is Carl is the dwarf that all playable dwarves descend from. And this is an expansion from another theory called the general cloning theory. Since all playable dwarves are identical in physical appearance and ability assigned from their gear, it's possible they're descendants of clones from the same dwarf. This root dwarf could be Carl, and the reason he got cloned is because he was super powerful. And there's not much information to support or deny this theory. Everybody looks the same. It's suspiciously vague in the way that people come back to the med bay after being abandoned on Hoxies. So it could be you're just getting your uploaded into your new dwarf body whenever you wake up in the med bay.
It is just the movie Moon with Sam Rockwell, basically, which is an excellent film everybody should watch.
I haven't seen that one. Is there four dwarves that come from a master dwarf who have to mine on the moon?
No, but there is like a master Sam Rockwell, and everybody else is a clone who gets wounded at some point and wakes up mysteriously in the infirmary.
Yeah, cool.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It's an excellent film. Like, that's a mid-movie spoiler, but you should still watch it. It's fantastic.
Okay. What do you guys think about Dwarf Seed Carl?
So the clone theory, specifically to explain the med bay, was kind of counteracts what I would have said, like a reason I would have given for why Carl is still alive.
Right.
I like to think that when you as a dwarf fail, you still get picked up by DRG. They basically just let you go through like a bunch of pain and like unpleasantness until you can like get the next ship home, kind of thing.
Okay.
It has always been my headcanon for it. So like you do eventually just wake up in the med bay because they do just pick up your unconscious corpse. And the reason you're just unconscious and not dead is because I've always assumed that these dwarves are like unkillable or you know, okay, just actually immortal and don't actually die, can't actually take enough damage to them.
Okay.
They will just kind of like regenerate like Wolverine eventually, even if they have a single cell remaining or whatever Wolverine's deal is how I've always assumed that they work. So
could see that.
So maybe Carl's just like, if he did go down to kill the queen, then maybe he's just like at the center of this hive still, and no mission has been able to get to him, right? No deep dive has been deep enough.
Imagine they pull him out and he looks like his flesh on every part of his body is scarred. He no longer can grow a beard. He's just been in like the center of pain for like years and years and years. And this is
they can regenerate infinitely, but they still like grow scar tissue, so they just look worse and worse.
Yeah. That would be the dwarf way, I think.
Yeah,
it's possible.
He comes out looking like one of those sharks that's been covered by the sucker fish there. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's covered in like circular or diagon shaped scars all over.
Diagon.
check out the Patreon bonus content.
So Carl, so like valid theories, once again, he's former teammate. That one's probably the most believable. One of the initial dwarves to descend, that these can be true like at the same time, both of them. And then the third is he's part of the clone theory, and he is a descendant. He's either one of the strongest clones or the root for all the other clones.
Yeah, it was his beard hair that they used. They plucked it out with tweezers, and they've got it like in one of those like magnetic cases where it just like hovers on a beam of light. It's like it's like the sour ball in The Simpsons.
Exactly.
They keep his beard hair in an oxygen-free tank like on the other side of the moon.
Yep. So now we have three like lacking or debunked theories is what they call them. I think the first two are pretty easy to debunk, but the third one, which is one Pete guessed, is kind of plausible, especially in the world we're living in. But let's first jump into the other two. Carl is mission control is one of the guesses.
Okay. No.
Come on. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Unless I can let you finish your theory, but like, unless they're saying like he's taking another job and the dwarves don't realize it's him or something like that. But there's no way they're cheersing the guy in mission control, because there is a voice line that says, boy, that guy in mission control sure does have a cushy job.
Yeah,
that's in my if that guy was Carl, then surely they'd be more enthusiastic and not speak about him as he's if he's no longer around. That exact voice line is there why it's not a good. Ethan, you've done your research, so very good.
Unless our theory that they never did actually meet him and are just playing it up to make it seem like they're cool and they knew Carl, he did just like get promoted into middle management and like never told them his name is Carl. He just goes by like Mr. Mission Control or whatever, you know? Yeah. Mr. Marx, right?
Right.
Hey, is Carl named after Karl Marx? Because DRG is like very pro-union, and like it's very clearly satire at like how any corporation will eventually lead to this like hellscape where you'll just be sent down to die over and over and over again. So
yeah
that is now a Lore Boys canon, because that doesn't come up anywhere. But
what is like DRG
what did the developer
is like...
said when he was asked that like, Carl is a true friend and something, but
I have every cool voice line, which we can run over after these series if you guys like to see if there's anything.
Not a voice line. I'm trying to remember. You mentioned that the developers, when they were questioned by the gotcha journalist at the beginning, he was asked who Carl was.
He's Carl's a previous colleague, a friend, and a battle brother. Every monster they kill is a revenge for Carl, was the basic idea.
Okay,
one of the guys basically said it's like an easy out. As a script way.
Which I mean, all of this feels like a lot of fun to speculate, but working in game development myself and having worked with plenty of developers in my time, I know it's probably like, we didn't give the story that much thought. We just want to make a cool ass video game, which they very much succeeded on.
They totally did. Yeah.
When they answered the question about Carl that the battle brother thing I just brought up, they at that point had got the game working on PC with it not looking anything like it does now, and was working on getting it to Xbox. It hadn't even been on PlayStation and everything else that it is on now.
Exactly.
So they had a lot on their plate other than figuring out who a guy named Carl was. So
We don't need a union here at Deep Rock Galactic. Yeah. Come on. It's 300 days on, and then they give you a 4-day weekend. It's totally worth it.
Yeah. But I mean, that was Peter. You said like Carl said the word union once. Like, Carl wrote the Communist Manifesto once and then disappeared. Didn't show up for his next shift.
Another theory is Carl is an important figure, such as a leader or DRG's CEO. So this suggests, like Ethan's guess, that it's like, we used to know him. He was fine. And then he got promoted. That could be how that happened. But this theory suggests that Carl's a prominent figure of some sort, such as a leader, hero, a mythological figure, or perhaps even higher than a mythological figure, a CEO of...
Oh, I see.
I was gonna say, what fucking corporate bootlicker wrote this theory? It's so clearly lampooning this, like, that, like CEO, alpha, sigma, grind set. Behavior like in humans, like the whole game just seems like satire, like making fun of that I refuse to believe that he's
they'd never idolize an executive anyway, because there's like a bunch of lines where they just like bitch about how shitty the equipment is too. They would never they'd never lionize the guy who put them there with like a rickety old mule robot that you just like dumping rocks into, right?
Is if you take like for Carl literally, as we're doing all this work for Carl, who is the CEO.
It's not an expression. It's just a statement of fact.
Yeah.
Not a great theory. Not a great theory.
That gets a Loreboys certified.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got the Ethan blowing a raspberry sticker that just like slap on that one. Yeah.
And our final one, Carl never existed, but is a propaganda figure. And this is based on real-world propaganda campaign where the Soviet Union claimed a worker once delivered 14 times his daily quota in a coal mine. This is called the Stakhanovite, yeah. Stakhanovite movement, and it comes from the Soviet Union, and it's referred to the workers who model themselves after Alexei Stakhanov, who reportedly mined 102 tons of coal in less than 6 hours.
Feels like a lot.
I
don't know how much coal is a lot to mine in a day, but it feels like a lot.
102. It was 14 like, times his quota.
That's like 40 cars, isn't it?
It's
more than 40 cars. That's like, so it's 2,000. So if we're talking imperial tons, that's way less than metric tons, but let's say imperial tons. So it's 2,000 pounds per ton.
Right.
So that's
okay, yeah.
204,000 pounds.
Yeah.
Of coal.
Coal. So in under 6 hours. It's so funny. Like
on the 31st of August.
I had that in my head and I was like, I could write. Surface level lore for a video game, guys, just fucking hire me.
Yeah, on the 31st of August on 1935 is when he did this, and they used this as a campaign, and they showed it to everyone in the Soviet Union, like, look at this guy, he's doing his best, why can't you? And it's theorized that there was 6 or 7 workers that actually worked together, and they all did double their quota for a day, but then just gave all their coal to one guy. And that's, or if he even existed, and or if the Soviet Union just like, this guy can do it, why can't you?
It's definitely that one though. Like, he definitely never, this never happened. Yeah. No, what we know in 2022 about the Soviet Union propaganda machine.
Yeah.
So Carl could similarly be a ruse by DRG to make the dwarves believe they can be as great as Carl to boost their mission efficiency. It could be true, but who knows? So
I like that one personally.
Yeah. It's a believable one. I have like a few voice lines. You want me to just run through them? They could be fun.
Sure. Okay, go through a couple.
Can you do an impression?
Yeah. This one's for Carl, killing an enemy. For Carl, using a power attack.
Okay, the cadence is for Carl.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
It's a quick 4 and then extended Carl.
That thing ate bullets like Carl drank beers. That's when you beat a dreadnought.
Okay.
We got it. Carl would be proud after beating a dreadnought. By Carl, look at all that pretty sparkly eye. And then that's after you defeat one of the golden exploders, the Glyphid Crassus detonators.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I'll beat your record this time. Watch me while mining minerals. Carl is not directly mentioned, but he might be the record holder.
Okay.
Outside of missions, there's for Carl when you salute or cheer or slap the fuzzy dice in the dropship. Carl would approve of this when you're cheering. Carl, is that you? When you drink Black Lock Lager. I think you...
Oh, is that the one that makes you go unconscious?
I think that's Blackout. This one's Black Lock. I don't even know. Okay. They might have it wrong.
Black Lock Lager?
Yeah.
Let's see. Black Lock Lager. Oh, no. Where did it go?
I can't remember.
The player screen will darken, followed by ghostly sounds. Oh, it's the one that you hear ghosts.
Okay.
Wait a minute. If all truths are knowable, then all truths, in fact, must be known. But by whom? Carl would know when you drink smart stout.
Mm-hmm.
So bloody obvious, I know where he is. What would Carl choose when selecting a cosmetic? I'm going to wear this in honor of Carl whenever you forge a cosmetic. Unused voice lines are... Carl with an exclamation mark. Okay. Don't leave me like you left Carl when the drop pod leaves without the player.
Okay. Yeah.
Carl, if you're down here, now's the time to come out and say goodbye during the final retirement mission. I've never seen a fire in a Final Retirement Mission, so.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah, so one unconfirmed information that I like a lot is when you go to the Memorial Hall, this is where you go to get your promotions, and based on how much you level each of your classes, there's different statues.
Statue.
Yeah. So if you get to level 10, if you just play a guy, you get like a bronze statue. You get to level 10, you get a silver statue.
I think it's stone. It's stone, and then when you promote the first time, he turns bronze. Your scout's probably silver now.
I have gold statues. I've only gotten three classes to level 25.
It's 10 and 25 for silver and gold.
Oh, okay.
It says it on the wall. If you climb on the wall and then you go up another thing and then up another thing all the way up to the back of the wall, it says you get the gold statues at 25, and down below somewhere it'll tell you the gold or the silver at 10.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's one, if you're like the perfect Deep Rock Galactic person and you've played each character to level 25, or assumingly your first promotion is when you get the gold, I guess, which is just at level 25. You'll have one scout, one gunner, one engineer, one, what am I missing? Driller.
Driller.
But there's a fifth statue in the middle, and it's another scout.
Always forget the drillers.
Yeah. It's another scout. So they think that maybe this giant statue in the middle, which is the second scout, is actually Carl. Because why would you put four playable characters and then a fifth anyways? The fifth and central could be Carl, which is the giant scout, but that's just a guess.
That's our composite statue, where it's 25 different dwarf faces all combined into one. But again, he's not real.
Looking at the 2017 videos, though, a lot of their promo stuff was also that of a scout. The scout's face was used for a lot of things, so it could be that was just the first character model.
He's the main dwarf on the Steam icon too. It's a it's a scout with a pickaxe and like a stein of beer as well.
Could be Carl. Could be developer stuff, but yeah. One thing it mentions too is for the Vermintide games, Carl bears some resemblance to Cousin Oakry, the legendary, possibly fictitious dwarf that's viewed as a hero by the playable characters. So that's cool. Some tie into the 40K world. They probably look into that a little bit at DRG, but maybe don't care that much about it.
I mean, it's probably just a nod to the fact that it's like 4-player synchronous co-op. Yeah. PvE co-op, right? Like they're similar style games, and in that's like Vermintide is very much like a Left 4 Dead kind of game where you get together with three friends and you complete these missions essentially. So if anything, it'd be a nod to that. But that, I mean, we've had a fair amount of fans stretching for kernels of truth amidst this episode. So
it
might be one more.
All to say, still a mystery until Ghost Ships gives us more updates for Carl. I'd love to see some more tidbits as they keep updating the game. They keep updating the game for free. So if you're looking for a game to play with friends, this is like an excellent one. You can do it on console. You can do it on PC. This is, if you need to support a game dev, this is the type of one you want to support.
For sure.
Give you good games and they keep updating it. And it's not predatory at all. Like no microtransactions. There's some DLCs. Like if you really want to go the extra mile, you can get some extra skins, but they're really kind of off to the side and not pushed on you like day-to-day games. But for all we know, Carl could be alive underground, surviving off glyphid meat and homemade barley bulb brew. Who knows? But at least for now...
Yeah, maybe he's making toilet liquor by harvesting all like the ingredients that you get for your beer. He's just making it himself in a cave.
Yep, he could be, because all those ingredients are down there. So, but at least now we can say that we know all the facts around it and can have... keep an educational eye out for him ourselves. So let us know what you guys think. If you think it's propaganda, if you think he's alive, dead, whatever, just let us know. Hop in that Discord. But super fun game, and it's really fun to even look into this stuff.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you like the show, consider leaving us a review on your podcast app of choice and telling your friends. It's a great way to grow the show for us. And if you leave us a 5-star review and want to tweet it at us or send it to us, we'll make sure to read it on air. Peter, is there anything exciting going on in your domain these days?
Yeah, I mean, at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. I am still working full time. So I don't know if my comic's going to be out in July, but I'll certainly have a hell of a lot done in July. But you can check out Squared Idea. Check out their Instagram or check out our Instagram to see some progress there. And of course, at time of writing, Montreal Comic Con, first week of July, 2022. I'm going to be there. The lads almost certainly are going to be there. We'll be there with my publisher. So if you can make it to Montreal from the 7th to the 10th of July, 2022, come say hello.
Yeah. COVID pending with cases just so on the rise again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Jamie had it. He's fine.
Yeah. If you want to find me on the internet, I just joined the Discord. We're chatting with people all the time. We have so many people coming in lately that we had to create a very own welcome channel instead of just having it all land in general, because there's people joining more and more all the time. Elden Ring and DRG have been pumping up them numbers, and the community's growing. I honestly, every time I check the numbers, I'm so happy to see how fast this podcast is growing. So come on, get into the community at the ground floor. Become an OG. Get into that.
Yeah. Also, if you want to rep us in person, we just launched a new storefront. I wanted to mention this at the top, but completely forgot. We have a new storefront on Spring. They have a lot of products and a lot of integrations, which is cool. To be able to integrate into our YouTube channel, I would love to see our YouTube channel get to 1,000 subs. It's at like 800 and something. You don't need to download anything, but they don't let you do integrations unless you hit 1K. So I would love to get 150 subscriptions on YouTube just so we can integrate our Spring store into that, because they have a lot of cool stuff. They have a bunch of different like drinkware and hats and different shirts and pants and whatnot. It's pretty cool. So that's
They don't have a lot of hats. They have one hat option, which is a bucket hat.
And that's okay. Well, they have the very cool hat.
It's the coolest possible hat, I'll say. Yeah. It's the modern man's fedora, you might say.
you got to buy our Lore Boys brand bucket hat, and then you need the little strings with the corks on them hanging down around your face. And that is, my friends, is how you get. That's how you pull chicks.
You know what? That's how you pull chicks. Like, I wonder what Carl would wear, and it would probably be a bucket hat to carry all his minerals.
For sure. In that bucket.
Yeah.
So check out our merch store if you guys are interested in any merch that we sell, or any of Pete's custom artwork. If you wanted to be merch, it's been pretty easy for us to make that.
Yep.
For you guys. So give it a look. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear some feedback on the new store. And if you guys want to support the show, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys, where we will release all the loser titles, as we call them, which are titles that I've been writing down this whole episode that we're not going to actually name this this episode. Those come out on Tuesdays. On Thursdays, we'll release, I think it's 30 minutes this week of bonus content.
Yep.
Us just shooting the shit about various games like Payday 2, The Heist, a 10-year-old game at this point that we felt like that today. We felt like trying for the first time and then talking about for half an hour. And a lot of just other more personal stories. You can hear a story about how I met the granddaughter of the man who invented the barcode one time.
And Fridays is scripts. So if you care about Fridays, what we wrote down or what we copy pasted from Wiki, those go out on Fridays.
Yeah, exactly.
You can get the scripts on Friday. So go to patreon.com/theloreboys to learn more about that. And of course, if you don't trust Patreon, we do have Lore Boys Prime. And this week, we're not really offering you anything for Lore Boys Prime. You know, you're not getting anything in return, because you're not doing this for the gifts, for the rewards. You're doing this to support the show. You're doing this for Bobby. Okay. He's definitely a real person. He's not just somebody that we talk about on the show. He's not just a mishmash of our three faces overlaid over each other to make it seem like he's real. Okay.
Bobby one time listened to 14 episodes in a single day.
Bobby once created 15 burner accounts to subscribe to us on YouTube, you know. Yeah. Bobby once during the early days of the show, Bobby once drank 24 beers during a sound check with us. So
that is true, actually.
Yeah. One time he drank 21 metric tons of beer before an episode.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like the fucking Lore Boys fan.
Make sure to head over to Lore Boys Prime and just do the thing for us. All right. And of course for Bobby. And that would constitute a Lore Boys.
Lore Boys.
Out. Lore Boys for Bobby.
For Bobby.
For Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
to have new milestones. Remember our 10th episode way back when? Now we can have our 10th bonus content, guys.
But yeah. Off the top of your head, what was our 10th episode? I know what our 20th was, but I don't know what our 10th was.
Kirby?
It's as good a guess as any, I suppose.
I can find out.
Yeah, there's like anything in the first. Yeah, I'm looking it up right now.
Okay.
Episode 10, was it Mega Man X? Did the X have anything to do with it?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.